Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are here today again, rejoicing, fellowshipping together, just wanting to experience God as we continue with our series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focal point is the very nature of God. And Brother Harold and I have been continuously taking us through the scriptures as we focus on God's love for us. So the nature of God is possessed in every born-again believer by way of the Holy Spirit. Acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith is exercised and saved by God's amazing grace is when the Holy Spirit instantly enters into the heart and resides. God himself fills you with himself. Your new nature is filled with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 25. So this is our nature as born again believers, that we possess the very fruit of the Spirit, and if we live in the Spirit, then we are to also, don't miss that, also walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit of love, walking in the Spirit of joy, peace, kindness, being gentle and self-controlled. That is God's love, his nature for his children. And this is what we are to exemplify toward others as we live out our new nature. So Brother Harold is in studio with me, and he is going to continue in this delightful series under the umbrella of discipleship, but our focus point is the very nature of God. Brother Harold?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hello again, everybody. We welcome you. We release the blessings of God upon you. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are here together in studio again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. Well, we just want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. If you don't know now, you'll know when we finish this topic within the series. Most importantly, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge will release God's divine plan for your life. And you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny that he has called you to. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focus topic today is the very nature of God, the true nature of God. And we get ready to just dive right into the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out by reading our launch pad scriptures. And our launch pad scripture for the series comes out of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 28. That's Matthew chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 all the way through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16. And it reads this way: Then the 11 discipleships went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Now, our foundational scripture for this particular topic, the very nature of God, the true nature of God, comes out of the book of Ephesians. That's Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, starting with verse 16 all the way through verse 21.
Ephesians 3:16, and it reads this way: That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, last week, we left off speaking concerning the ministry of the prophet. As we already established through previous teaching, which is on previous podcasts, by the scripture, which is the word of God, revealing that the true nature of God is the agape, the love of God. I heard someone just open it up, and they said, the Father's heart of love. That's Daddy's heart, full of the agape. Abundance of love. A love feast. A love feast. And you know, concerning all you can eat buffets, they tell us you can all you can eat, but they cut that out in a couple of hours or so. But this love is all you can eat, and then more, and then more. Even when you can't eat anymore, there's still an abundance of the true nature, the very nature of God. And I like the modern day word tsunami, but not the natural tsunami, but a tsunami of the love of God. And we show that God always demonstrated himself in that manner, because that's the very essence of who he is. But throughout history, it was hard to see that abundance of love in the old covenant that he covenanted with his first people with. And we also say the Old Testament. And he looked more like a harsh God instead of an unconditional love of God. And we describe the difference between the two covenants, the two testaments, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Testament, the New Covenant. And we express that most people think that the only difference between the covenant, you know, because in 99% of the Bible, when you leave the Old Covenant, the last book of Malachi, and you enter into the New Covenant, the first book, which is Matthew, there's a blank page between the two covenants. And some people think that that's the only difference between the two covenants. No, 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 no. The difference between the two covenants are major. And that difference is the presence of our Lord and our Savior, our Master Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior and Master and King. He's the different love manifested in flesh. And the problem we have is we have a New Covenant people, a New Testament people, trying to represent God in this area, in this era, present God in this era, but they are presenting him with the covenant of old. And the covenant of old, God wasn't able to reveal himself as an unconditional love of God, loving God, because sin was in the way. God had to deal with sin before he can relate to man. But in the New Covenant, he sent his son, Jesus our Lord and our Savior, and he paid the price for all the sins of the world. The sin issue is settled. And now God do not have to impute sins against the people, but God is revealing his unconditional love in the hearts of a people and allowing his unconditional love to flow through and through. And so we talked about the prophet, And we were speaking of the prophet of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. And we were speaking how one focused on, there was many prophets in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, automatically point to this mighty man called Elijah. Even in the New Covenant, the prophets in the New Covenant want to be like Elijah. You know, in the natural realm, every young basketball player want to be like Mike. Yes. But in the spirit realm, every young prophet, every young preacher that think they're a prophet, I've been called a prophet, they go all the way back to the Old Covenant, and they want to be like Elijah. And I can hear somebody say, well, there's not any prophets in the New Covenant. Well, let's give you a scripture on that, and we're going to settle that issue before we go ahead. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. That's the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. And we are going to start with, we're going to read verses 11, 12, and 13.
Ephesians 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness.
Yes. And this scripture is what? You know, I say that nicely because they're my brothers and sisters, and I too am one. The Holy Rollers call the fivefold ministry. And God gave the fivefold ministry to the New Covenant, the New Testament church. And the apostle is there, and the evangelist is there, and the pastor is there, the teacher is there, but the prophet is also there too. So there are prophets in the New Testament. There are prophets in the New Covenant. And the statement that we was making was the prophet of the New Covenant. They look into the Old Covenant, and they want to imitate Elijah. And we made the statement that there were many prophets in the Old Covenant, and all of them wasn't hard as Elijah. All of them wasn't cruel as Elijah. Elijah is defined as a old bony finger prophet who get right in your face and let you have it. He will rebuke people. He will lambaste people. He will send a famine through a land with his spoken word. And he could burn nations out by calling it out fire. And that's the typical prophet that New Testament believers want to emulate in the New Testament era. Most young believers who think they are prophets, they think they are God's lightning rod to the earth. They think that it is their job to bring judgment upon the earth. And they believe it's their job to release the wrath of God and to smite people if they get out of line. But I'm here to tell you, number one, that is not the understanding of the ministry of the prophet and the New Covenant. Show that. And that is certainly not God's true nature represented in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Now, those gifts we talked about, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for those gifts to operate in the new covenant, they must operate true nature of God, which we have already established that the true nature of God is love. Let us go to the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And we want to read verses 1, verses 2, and verse 3.
First Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Amen. And what we pull out of that is the gifting of God, the gifting of the Spirit, have to operate under the true nature of God, which is the agape, the unconditional love of God. Are we just a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal, which means we're just making a bunch of noise and God is not getting glorified? And the scripture says we are nothing. And there's a translation, another translation that doubles that, say that we are a nothing if we are operating in the gifts and we are not operating under the spirit of love, which is the true nature of God. So when people go back, even the prophets, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, and we showed that from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, that they are prophets in the New Covenant. But when a prophet in the New Covenant tries to emulate a prophet out of the Old Covenant, they're doing it for selfish desires and selfish gain, and it's to make themselves look good. Because God never by scripture told us to emulate a personality. He never told us to follow after an Old Testament personality. And we showed in scripture last week that he always told us to follow after Christ, to be like Christ, to step into Christ's likeness. Now, there is one personality in the New Covenant that was to follow after him, but he put a disclaimer on that command. And let us read that out of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's the book of 1 Corinthians. And we will go to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 1.
Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ.
Amen. And see, that personality there is the personality of the Apostle Paul. And he is actually telling them, I like that word, imitates, and King James says follow, imitate, follow. He said, follow me. But let's not leave out that major disclaimer. Major disclaimer is, as I follow Christ. Amen. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying a lot in there. And most of it, he's not saying it, but he's saying it. Because he also saying it, if I stop following Christ, then you stop following me. If I stop emulating Christ, then don't you emulate me. So notice, the important one in that little small scripture, it's not the Apostle Paul. No. It's the Christ. It's the Christ that the Apostle Paul is following. And that just continued to harmonize the scripture because it goes along with all the scriptures we read last week, where the word of God always point to us following after Christ, being Christ-like. Not to even follow after Paul if he's not following after Christ. And most definitely that we do not go back to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and begin to follow after Old Testament personality that does not even have this blessed covenant that we have. And we showed last week after the man after God's own heart, he was highly lifted up in the Old Covenant by God himself, David. But David being a prophet, he was able to look into the New Covenant and see that relationship that we, the New Testament believers, have with this God because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and he picked up a Holy Spirit of jealousy. You know, in lame maturity, he was saying those people, those New Covenant believers under the blood covenant of God, they really got it going on. And he said, blessed are those New Testament believers who God would not impute their sins against them. And the major difference is not that blank page between Malachi and Matthew. That's not the major difference of the covenant. The major difference is the precious shed blood and what John the Baptist called and the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And notice he didn't say the sins of man. He said the whole world, glory to God. That's love. The blood of Jesus, so powerful, has already paid for all the sins of the whole entire world. Glory to God. They're satisfied. See, in the old covenant, God had to deal with sin to get to man. Hallelujah. But because he sent his only begotten son to be that the sheep, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the sin sacrifice to pay the price for my sin, for your sins, and for all the sins of the whole entire world, sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow. And we just lump it all together and say sins are forever. Hallelujah. And we should be like our Father, that we know no sin no more. Let's go to the book of Romans. That's my favorite book. I know y'all hear that all the time when I go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 5. Book of Romans, chapter number 5. Verse 8.
Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
I love that translation. They put still sinners. While we were still sinners, while we were still God's enemies. He said, we. That's me, and that's you. I'm going to say it like we said in Georgia. That's me, and that's y'all. Me and y'all. We were still sinners. You know what they're saying is, we weren't even thinking about going to no church. Glory to God. When God saved us, amen. Man, we weren't thinking about giving our hearts to God. We want to give our hearts to flesh. Amen. We wasn't even thinking about surrendering our lives to God to do his work. It was all about us. We weren't thinking about the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We was thinking about the demonic Trinity, me, myself, and I. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? We was God's enemy, and we were still sinners. But God demonstrated, lamest terms, God showed, revealed his agape, his love toward to us while we were still sinners. And how did he do it? Christ died for us. Ooh. The only thing I can say about that is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The only thing, when that scripture says Christ died for us, I have to just take 5 seconds and give him praise. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the praise. And you know what? I have to end it with the highest praise. Hallelujah. And I sense the Spirit of God touching hearts through the reading of that great scripture. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us while we was yet sinners. Let me just add a little bit in there. While we was yet a sinning, man, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. And he died to pay the price for the sin that we was doing. We'll do. Was gonna do. And even have the chance of keep doing it, paying the sin debt in full. For all the sins of the world. And we start out with my sins and your sins and for the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said. But you know the whole world is not saved. Amen. Because we have to believe. By grace are we saved, which grace is what God did. Allowed his son to die for the sins of the world. That's grace. Now that's our part. We got to release our faith and we got to believe. And I just sense Holy Spirit bringing, pulling on hearts, tugging on hearts. Amen. And bringing them in the direction of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So you know what I'm going to do? You got it. I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to release the microphone to Minister Kenita Smith, which is anointed with the spirit of salvation. And we're going to allow her to take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this is an eye-opener for us all to understand the devastation of sin in our life. And then understanding the revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, whose blood covered our sin. I mean, it just takes the thought of a person to a whole nother level. And I pray, my brothers and sisters, that you can get this under your inside you, get it understood to where you can grasp how we were sinners headed to hell. And because of the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, according to what our scriptures tell us, and according to the relationship and the intimacy we have with Christ, we are now heaven bound. And that is a hallelujah, hallelujah praise to God. So listen to what we as man have tried to do, our attempts to reach God. We have tried in many ways to bridge the gap between ourselves and God. And that's through good works or religion, philosophy, just many ways, morality, trying to bridge the gap between a sinful people and God. And we can't do that. According to scripture, it says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14 and 12 expresses that. Also, Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Think about that. So we have tried so hard in our attempts to try to bridge the gap between a sinful people and a holy God. And we cannot do that. So as Minister Harold indicated, the awesomeness of God's love, his very nature, and the work and love of Jesus Christ on the cross is who bridges the gap between a sinful people and a holy God. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. He did that. He paid the penalty for our
sin, bridge the gap between God the Father and sinful man. Hallelujah. So this is a time when we come together, like-minded, humble-hearted, wholehearted, for those who may not know him and who want to know him intimately, that we take this time to stop, drop, and pray that somebody listening to this broadcast may come to know him in the pardoning of their sin. This is the most important time of this broadcast. Yes, the word is important, but salvation and extending love, Jesus himself, to a sinful person to come to know him, that the gap would be closed through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, that they too may have a right to the tree of life. This is the time right now. So for you who may not know him, because it would not be fair to assume that every listener to this broadcast across the world is a believer in Christ Jesus, that would be foolish on our part. So we take the opportunity in this ministry, Mission from the Heart, to extend the love of Jesus Christ through salvation. And that is an opportunity for you to get right with God. So we want to partner together so that you can have that opportunity. Take the opportunity now, for this is the day that he has set aside for you to come to know him in all your being. So we want to pray with you a prayer of salvation. Now you come humble to the feet of Jesus with an humble heart, a made-up mind, and an outstretched hand in the best way that you know how, because he knows your heart. So don't sidestep. Don't try to fake him out. Don't come with a mindset of gain in some way, shape, or form for yourself. The gain that you want is everlasting life. That only comes from God the Father. So we want to pray with you as we come together. So my brothers and sisters who are listening, who are already saved, born again believers, partner with me and Minister Harold as we pray with them. And for that person that the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a child, whether it be someone at your job, a coworker, pray for them as well. Lift them up by name as we come together praying a prayer of salvation for our listeners of this broadcast who may not know Jesus for themselves. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. Lord God, I need you. I need you more than I need anything else in my life. You are my food for my soul. You are my living water as I thirst and hunger for you. You are my everything. You are my tree of life. Lord, I've messed up. So many times I've messed up. And I'm told that you and you alone are my anchor. You are my refreshing. You are my clean up on the inside out. You and you alone, Lord God. Thank you. Here I surrender my life to you. I believe by faith that Jesus died for me on the cross, his blood only. And I believe by faith, and I know by your saving grace, Father God, that you will save me from hell. And I come to you right now, as humble as I know how, asking to save me. I need you, Lord God. I love you with all my heart, Lord God. And I know my words have not been right. I know my thoughts have been evil, Lord God. But I know through salvation, all of that will change. Now, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my heart to you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made for you, and we celebrate with you. We build you up through prayer in Christ, my brother and my sister. The angels rejoice because you have made a choice, and the choice was right. Remember, we read, according to Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seems right to a man. That was you. But in the end, it leads to death. That means eternal death, eternally. And now that you have given your life, your heart to Christ, you are no longer. You are now heaven bound. Hallelujah. And this is the day that you have chosen to do that, to take care of that. God has been waiting for you patiently, lovingly, graciously for you to say yes to him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community that will baptize you by submersion of water. So when you get up, my brother and my sister, hallelujah, the world will know and you will shout, yes, Lord, now that you are telling the world that I am a Christ follower. Yay, God. Hallelujah. So it is an excitement. It is a joy to rejoice, to let the world know that you and you and Christ Jesus live inside you. So also within that church, seek a Sunday school class that you will continue to grow in your relationship with Christ, and discipleship class, maybe a small group that you can experience the intimacy of God as you continue to seek his word through fellowship. And of course, continue to listen to Mission from the Heart. This is how we grow, through the fellowship of one another and through the work of the word of God, purifying us on the inside out, that you will someday come to be the strong, faithful man or woman of God, that you would stand firm in your faith. Now keep in mind, things will come. Struggles will happen. But Jesus walked through struggles also. Don't miss that word. He walked through struggles also, as we read in the New Testament. So we are super excited, Minister Harold and myself, of the yes you made for your life eternal. Minister Harold?
Praise the Lord. What a glorious occasion that this is, this moment of salvation, this moment in the hearts of God's people, the ones that has come into the kingdom, and those that has already been rescued. And we know how good it is when we travel from darkness and we enter into the marvelous light. You know, the Apostle Paul said in his struggles, the things that I should do, I don't do. It's in the book of Romans chapter 7. The things I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. And he went on to say, he described himself, I've been there. And maybe some of you were there. He said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. That wretchedness, totally out of control. Don't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. And he said, who can rescue me? And that would happen tonight. Amen. Somebody got rescued. And I tell you what, I shout with you. I rejoice with you. Because I know how it feels to be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and be translated in the kingdom of the light of God, dear son. And that's what happened to the hearts of my brothers and my sisters that has entered into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes. And it is our rejoicing. The Bible says the angels rejoice when just one come into the kingdom. And you know why they rejoice? Because they're always looking at God and watching God, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. And why they giving him that glory? They see a smile come on his face. And when they see that smile, they know that someone has been rescued out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the light of his dear son. And that there you were. I smile too. Glory to God. And I rejoice too. And I welcome you, my brothers and my sisters. I welcome you into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Into this wonderful, glorious journey. Buckle up. Amen. This is the greatest journey that you'll ever enter into. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, therefore any man be in Christ, that's where you are now, your position in Christ, is a new creature. You're new on the inside in your spirit, man. Things are passed away, and all things are become new. I'm so excited. Glory to God. And we keep you in our prayers. And we keep lifting you up and we lift up your families. And glory, as time is running out, we're going to close the teaching. And we're going to come back next week and we pray that you come and join us next week. Because we're going to go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher in the agape, the unconditional love of God, the very true nature of our God and our Father, in Jesus' name. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So true. We are going to be here again
continuing in our lesson under the umbrella of discipleship. I tell you, it has been a blessing to just sit and listen to the Word of God and allow it to just saturate our hearts so that our minds would be able to understand the love of God. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us, allowing that to bring understanding, that we would know how to allow the love of God to work through us toward others. So we just encourage you to continue to be faithful listeners to Mission from the Heart as we continue to walk through Scripture and allow it to saturate our hearts and allow it to massage our mind so that we will continue to grow and go in grace. And that's what it's about, just exemplifying the love of God to others. So always know that we love you, Minister Harold and I. We continue to pray for you, as he indicated, and we also encourage you to stay faithful, faithful to God. The grass withers, the flowers faded away season after season, but the Word of God is strong. It's here to stay. It will never go away. God bless you and continue in the faith.